4:37 on WTMJ. So happy to have Brewers play-by-play broadcaster with us, Lane Grindle. Lane, my goodness, what a great outing for the Brewers in L.A.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, that was exactly what the Brewers needed after a tough series in San Diego where, honestly, they could have won two of those three games that they dropped in that series in San Diego. So to kind of pick themselves up off the mat and then go get three out of four in L.A., you couldn't have asked for much more than that. It ends up being a nice road trip when it was all said and done, and it sets up a great homestand here coming back.
So looking at the finale of that Dodgers-Brewers series, Lane, you have a guy like Tarek Skubal on the mound. I think a lot of people were curious as we potentially look in the way-to-head machine at a possible Brewers-Dodgers playoff matchup. That's a guy who you know is going to be trotted out there for one, maybe two, if a series goes seven. The numbers are what the numbers are. The Brewers put up six runs in total on the day, but I'm curious from your perspective in the booth, how did it seem like the bats were faring, whether it's from exit velocity on the baseball against Skubal or other things that maybe don't line up in the stat sheet per se?
Well, I think the key for the Brewers, and this is what had helped them get to Skubal for four runs in Detroit in April when they faced him back then as well, is that the Brewers are really good at seeing a lot of pitches. I mean, the Brewers get deep into counts, they work counts, and when they are in that mode, they can really be challenging for opposing pitchers. Now, the Brewers kind of came out in the other way early against Skubal. They were attacking early. A lot of first pitch swings the first time through the lineup. I think seven of the nine swung at the first pitch the first time through the lineup, which is maybe not exactly what you would have expected from the Brewers. So I think their game plan was to go in there and be aggressive against him, but then they still were able to elevate the pitch count in a couple of innings. He had the longest inning of his season in the second inning when they got to him, and he threw 33 pitches in that inning. So I think he had another 28 pitch inning in the fifth inning as well. So the Brewers just did a good job approach 1 through 9, getting into those at bats, getting deep into the counts when they could, and just being a nuisance, frankly, to Tarek Skubal. You know, the Brewers are going to have to win games without always hitting home runs. They are last in Major League Baseball in home runs. And so you look at what they do well, and that is they collect a lot of hits, they get on base, they create a lot of traffic. So as long as they're hitting with runners in scoring position, it's still a really good offense. And they put a lot of pressure on the defense yesterday. And the Dodgers defense didn't perform great yesterday, frankly.
And then as far as Brewers pitching goes, how high is Logan Henderson's stock right now? The 24-year-old went toe-to-toe and won the battle with Skubal yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, most of the speculation was that the Tigers said, if we're going to trade Tarek Skubal to you, Logan Henderson has to be in the deal, or we'd strongly prefer it, and the Brewers balked at that. And I think we got a great understanding of why yesterday. I mean, he has been not just great, but he's been a model of consistency all season long and throughout his career and the handful of starts he made last year as well. I mean, the guy is going to give up three or less runs every time you hand him the ball. That's a great, great luxury to have if you're Pat Murphy and the Brewers. Not that you can count on that, not that it's a given, but it has been in terms of over the course of his 16 starts, that's the way it's looked for Logan Henderson. So, look, it's fastball command. The fastball plays up. When he's spotting that and getting ahead early, the changeup is such a good swing and miss pitch. And then that cutter has been a good third pitch for him, too, to keep hitters honest. So if you can keep Logan Henderson healthy, and if you can get Kyle Harrison to be the guy that he was in the first half of the season, and if Dustin May looks like he's looked with the Brewers so far in his two starts, boy, the Brewers have some depth in that rotation going into a postseason series.
And what a great call you had yesterday. Jake Bowers goes 4 for 4 with two RBIs. Here it is.
Here's the 1-0 to Bowers, and a liner into left center field. That's going to plug the gap and roll all the way to the wall. Churio around second. He's not stopping at third. Matt Erickson gives him the windmill, and the Brewers played a huge insurance run here in the seventh inning on an RBI double from Jake Bowers. 4 for 4 today for the Southern California native.
Boy, he did a great job.
Yeah, it's all against left-handed pitching, too, which I think is of note. You know, Jake was a guy that most people would have said was a platoon guy coming into the year, meaning that you'd only play him against right-handed pitching and his opportunities against lefties would be limited. But because of the Andrew Vaughn injury and the Jackson Churio injury early, the Brewers had to play him against lefties out of necessity, and he showed that he could do it. And Pat Murphy always says the way you get better against hitting left on left is to actually do it, to be in there, to see left-handed pitching. And that happened for Jake, and he's actually got better numbers against lefties this year than he does righties, depending on how you kind of carve up the numbers. So it's a huge development for the Brewers. What a career year that Jake's having, and he's a big reason why the Brewers have the best record in baseball.
So looking ahead now, Lane, we've got the homestand starting tomorrow, off day today, three against the Mariners and then three against the Braves, though that last home game, quote unquote, is going to be on the road in Pennsylvania, the Little League Classic in Williamsport. Not quite the dream scenario because Whitefish Bay Little League unfortunately fell a game short of heading to the Classic, or heading to Williamsport rather. But I'm curious from your perspective and Jeff, Josh, and Kent's, logistically, when you have a park that seats 2,500 people, it's going to be all Little Leaguers and their parents in there. What challenges does that sort of stadium setup present for you and the broadcast team?
Well, I think the atmosphere is going to be amazing. I mean, it'll be really cool. That part I'm going to be really into. I'm going to dig that part. But, you know, the facilities will be a little tight. You know, Jeff and I will be very comfortable with each other, I think, probably on Sunday night when we're broadcasting that game. And I think Kent's going to have to work on his stamina standing because I'm not sure there's a place for him to sit in our booth.
From what
we understand, it's going to be pretty tight. But we're all a big family, so it'll be fine. We'll all enjoy it, and it's unique. You know, it's a one-off to be able to do these types of cool experiences like Major League Baseball's introduced over the last 5 or 6 years. I think it's wonderful. I'm glad the Brewers are in this game. I hope they get to be in the Field of Dreams game in the future as well. American Family Field's the closest ballpark to Dyersville. So this is me lobbying for one of those future years to see the Brewers in that Field of Dreams game, because as an Iowa kid, I would just love to be able to go to that. So I think these showcases are awesome, and I can't wait for it.
Brewers play-by-play broadcaster Lane Grindle, thank you so much for your time on your day off. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.